Are you a rebel seeking transformation in your recovery journey? Then 366 fucking days sober is the book for you. 366 daily meditations. This book by the SoberPod Recovery Podcast host and professional rebel, Carr, will help guide you towards a new way of thinking and living. Each daily meditation offers a fresh perspective, practical advice, and a healthy dose of Carl's irreverent humor to help you stay sober and embrace the challenges of life without drinking, drugging, or shitting your pants. Whether you're just starting your recovery journey or looking for a daily dose of encouragement and laughs, 366 fucking days sober is the book for you. So, if you're ready to transform your life and become the rebel you were meant to be, get your copy of 366 fucking days sober today. Available today on Amazon.com.
Power Rangers.
Go, go, Power Rangers. I'm Carl. I don't even know the fucking theme song. I'm Carl. I'm an addict alcoholic. My sobriety days, August 22nd, 2014.
I'm Chelsea. I'm a Power Ranger, and my sobriety date is February 19th, 2015.
You should start a new thing just like that.
I identify as Power Ranger.
I identify as Power Ranger
I don't know about pink, maybe yellow, but this is SoberPod.
SoberPod.com. 366 fucking days sober. Yeah. Sober pod, keep it authentic, no facades. If it's real, then you know it's ours. Welcome.
Sober Pod is a podcast dedicated to the idea that one addict or alcoholic helping another is crucial to building a life in recovery. Join us on this season as we read from our book, 366 fucking days sober. And as always, stay active, stay sober.
Really nailing that F-bomb there, Chelsea. You just...
I have to enunciate it like a fucking lady.
Slamming it home. Bam! People know where they are when they hear that shit. Right there.
Just make sure they're listening.
Yeah.
They're here.
Oh, this chick's serious. She's bringing out the F-bomb. Okay, Chelsea, this is... for the new people, we always got to say for the new people... this is what we do here.
The nude people?
The nude people. For the new and the nude people, this is what we do here. We read from our book, 366 effing days sober.
In the nude.
And it's 366 daily meditations for the rebel seeking transformation and recovery. Now with 100% more fucks given, if you're looking at the cover. And so what we do is we read the day, and as they are, they're labeled today. If you're listening Friday night, you're going to think that you've jumped ahead in time, and you're going to think that we actually are in Australia, and we're not. But it's so it's April 13th is what we're going to be reading from, and basically this is our full length episode that Chelsea and I do. And then during the week, I read all of the individual daily readings, and then I post those. And so if you like, subscribe, follow, I don't know, put it in your sock, whatever else that you do to get your podcasts fed to you, then you'll get the daily readings as well. And so you'll get the daily readings, and then you'll get the full length episodes, which is this one. So we did we read from the book Living Sober, which is by AA World Services Organization. So we would listen to the chapter and then we would discuss it back in starting in March 2022. I want to say March. It could be.
Yeah,
May.
I think so. I mean, wow, it's been 2 years. Oh,
somebody's
going
to have to tell us. Yeah, somebody's going to tell us. So, yeah. So we started doing that back then. And I think that really, you know, I had started to write a book, of course. And so so then the book, basically, it kind of took the place of doing stuff like that. I don't know. Maybe one day we should go back and do like the big book or something, like do an entire read through. Like that would be kind of weird. You and I sitting here for, you know, 15 minutes reading shit like that. Either way. So, we read through this and then we discuss. I would like to say up front, thanks to Friends in Recovery for all their support and promotion of our book. They actually let us put our commercial in their podcast. hey, you know, you just got your podcast in my podcast. Anyway, and so so then they actually do read it sometimes and discuss, which is awesome, on their podcast. So if you want to go over to Friends in Recovery Podcast, look them up, subscribe to them as well. They're kind of like our cousins on the East Coast. We're very much West Coast. They're very much East Coast, and it's pretty obvious. And I'd like to thank V for hosting meetings Saturdays at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. That's 9 p.m. for you Eastern folks. It is a wonderful experience. It's very program agnostic. So if you want to go and check them out, that would be awesome. So I really want to thank V for all of her support and for always spreading the message on WhatsApp and Facebook and, you know, all the other stuff that she does.
You can find the meeting information on our website, soberpod.com.
Yeah, thanks. You would think that I would remember that as well. Yeah, and then you can go to soberpod.com to buy the book as well. So there's a link there to buy our book. And all proceeds that we, you know, muster go to keeping this podcast alive. Like I said, for the first time, it was last year, we were fully self-supporting for the first time in 7 years. So, yay.
Yep.
So that's it. Anything more you have to, before we dig in, before we start talking about Go-Go Power Rangers?
I don't think so. I think you covered it all pretty succinctly.
Awesome. All right. Chelsea, are you ready?
I don't know, Carl. Are you ready?
I am pumped. Let's let the healing begin.
Am I reading or are you reading?
Remember we would have that? That used to be part of our little shtick.
I know.
It's not our shtick anymore. Yeah, it always reminds me of Good Will Hunting, you know? Mm-hmm. You know, when he says, I'm pumped, let's let the healing begin, when he goes into therapy for like the first time. And then it always like reminds me of like that moment when Robin Williams and Matt Damon have that moment of, you know, it's not your fault. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-mm.
There's a moment when Robin Williams says to the character, you know, it's not your fault. And he's like, I know. And they go, no, really, it's not your fault. Oh, no, I know. Yeah, and then they start crying, you know. Because that's what you do at therapy, apparently. You get friends with your therapist, and you hug, and you know, you stay friends forever. Not really.
No, that's not really how that works.
Yeah.
At least I showed it.
Nothing like that at all, actually. My therapist was not Robin Williams, apparently.
Yeah.
So, okay.
R.I.P.
So, so we're going to read and then we're going to discuss.
Yes, that we are.
Let's do this.
Okay. April 13th.
Oh my God, April 13th. No. Okay. April 13th. Go ahead. Inside joke.
When we talk about powerlessness and recovery, we tend to ignore the other side of the concept, being powerful. Sure, you are powerless over alcohol and drugs. No shit. If you weren't, you wouldn't be reading this book. But have you thought about what you have power over? We have so much potential that goes unused and unrealized in our lives as addicts and alcoholics. So much power is wasted. We have the power of choice today that we did not have in our active drinking and using. We have the power of rational thought and actions to match. These things were never in our grasp at the lash of alcohol and drugs. Today, you can use your power in ways you never could. So get out there and score, dunk that goal, swing for the goalposts, hit a touchdown or whatever. Reflections. What power do you have today that you should be accessing but don't? Why not? Daily challenge. Ask someone you love, what is one thing you could do today to help improve their life?
Yeah. So today you can use your power in ways you never could. Get out there and score, dunk that goal, swing for the goalposts, hit a touchdown or whatever. You know, it's like I love
that. Go sports.
Go sports. Yeah, it's like I am totally not a sports dude, if you could tell. You know, I would I watched sports only when I was drinking, right? Sports is the most boring fucking thing I've ever, like, I'm like, really? Unless you're playing it, it's really not that fun or entertaining for that matter. I could give a fuck. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I just do not care. But when I watch other people get so into it, I'm like, why do you give a fuck? Like, it's so weird. So I love being the dude that literally like knows nothing about sports and really driving it home with dunk that goal. Swing for those goalposts. So yeah. It always reminds me of like some, I don't know, some Karen, you know, trying to give advice to like some really hip young people.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't know nothing. Okay, Chelsea, I guess one of the things that really stands out to me in this reading is just how well it's written. That author.
I thought so. I thought it was great.
I'm kidding. We have the power of choice today that we did not have in our active drinking and using, period. Like, that's like, yep. I think one of the things that when we're drinking, I don't even know if I was aware that I did not have a choice in a lot of my actions. It's like, you don't know what you don't know. And I think one of the things that I didn't know is that like the decisions that I was making on a daily, though they appeared to me to be willing choices or free choices or whatever, I really didn't have the choice in the matter because I didn't know the difference. And when you're drinking for so long, you almost don't even realize like that's what you've done to yourself over like a long period of time. It's really like the, and we talked about it before, which is again, the frog, boiling in a pot of water, you know, mm-hmm. It's like, you know, at first you get in, you're like, okay, this is great, whatever. A little cold. And then, it starts to warm up. And you're like, oh, this is cool. See, and then, and the human being, of course, like we actually get out. But a frog, if over a slow boil, won't leave the pot. It won't even think to leave the boiling pot. It will die. And it has no understanding of that gradual change in temperature like we do, right? You know, so that's the, but again, alcoholism is kind of like that, right? You know, it's like that when I first started drinking, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't all that bad. It was actually some good times. I mean, I got laid, you know, every once in a while.
Right.
You say it right, like you knew that I got laid.
Right. Yeah. Every once in a while.
Every once in a while. but it wasn't that bad, was it? I mean, like you went to parties and stuff, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, I don't know, 2 years into drinking really wasn't that bad, was it? You know, it's like, you know, you can manage to do some shit, you know, go to work, go out, have fun, you know, blah, blah, pregame, right? You know, then go out, you know, blah, 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 do all that stuff. It was just kind of like, it's what people did. It's what most people do, isn't it? You know, I mean.
Yeah. In my, like, the time where I was really heavily drinking wasn't until later, but, you know, in the beginning, like, when you're going to parties, it's like, you're seeing all your peers drinking and doing the same things. You're in college or, you know, high
drinking
school.
Drinking with impunity.
And it's just the way it is. You know, you're not seeing how abnormal it becomes, like, when you just continue to do it. So, like, as I'm getting older and, like, my friends are graduating college, I'm still, like, doing, like, the heavy drinking every day, right? And, like, to me, that's normal. But, like, that's totally not normal. That's, like,
I'm pre-gaming before I go to a wedding that my wife wants me to go to, right? You know, it's like, that's not what the normal drinkers do.
Right.
Normal drinkers don't go like, okay, is it an open bar or a closed bar, honey? Like, oh, it's a closed bar, you know, whatever. God damn it, you know? And then so I got to go, all right, so we're going to be there. My wife won't let me spend, you know, fucking $30 on drinks all night. So, okay, I must pregame before I get there. And, you know, and again, I need to plan my life out. And I don't understand. Most people don't do that. They actually, you know, they might be driving, so they choose not to drink. Can you believe that?
Wild. Crazy. Absolutely stuff. Crazy.
But, you know, when you're younger, you don't really notice that, like, everybody else is, you think everybody else is drinking like you drink, period. Like, you just think that that's how that works. And that just wasn't my reality. That just wasn't like the, you know, my reality was not the same as other people's realities. My reality was is that everybody was drinking like I did. And that was a really hard thing to, like, kind of understand later in life. Like, I only understood it after I got sober, because, you know, when you get sober and you look around and then, and you realize, like, cause you pay attention to everybody else's drinking.
Oh yeah. Right?
And you start to realize, like, oh yeah, like, that person only has one drink. Like, I would have had five already. Like, this is, like, you know, this is how it works. You know,
they've been nursing the same drink for, like, 2 hours, you know?
Exactly.
And, like, the fact that we're so perceptive of other people's drinking just shows, like, the obsession, right?
Yeah.
Like, how obsessive we can become. Yeah. I think, it's interesting because I wonder if it's like, you know, when we're drinking, if it's we no longer have a choice, or if it's just like, because my perception was that I always had a choice, right?
Yeah.
And I choose not to stop. I choose to drink.
Yeah. I can stop if I want to. That's
exactly.
Always the good one. Yeah.
You know, but so I wonder if it's just my perception of, like, how chained I was, not knowing how chained I was to alcohol, because I did plan everything around it. If there was not alcohol at a gathering, I was devising ways to be there for the least amount of time as possible, or getting drunk beforehand, you know, or, like, making up excuses. It was all very much based on how much alcohol is there, how much time, like, I have to be in this place without alcohol. It's crazy, right? So I'm really, like, a prisoner to alcohol, even though in my perception, I have this choice in the matter. And, you know, maybe there are certain people who do have a choice, you know, when it comes to those things. I would say maybe your disease has not progressed, you know, to a certain point, because there was a time when I was younger, when I hadn't been drinking as long, where I could say, you know, no, like, I'm committing to drive tonight. Like, I'm not drinking. Mm-hmm. But as time went on, my priorities shifted, let's just say. And I would say, well, I can have a drink or a couple drinks and still drive. I'll be fine. You know what I mean? So, but I think it's interesting because no one can really define whether or not you're an alcoholic. That's kind of an internal, you know, dialogue you have to have with yourself. But, I wonder if, you know, some people do have a choice, or if it's just simply like they haven't progressed to the point of, like, not having that choice
it's like,
anymore.
When do they cross the line? And I think for me, it's like, I know that, like, for me, it was like somewhere between, you know, 33 and, you know, 35, 36, something like that. You know, there was a point where I crossed a line where it was just, but I was totally unaware, like the frog in the boiling pot.
Right.
I was literally like, I didn't know it was happening to me. All I know is that that was my life. And it's like, you know, the Big Book talks about it, the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. They talk about it and say, like, you know, that, gee, I don't know what my brain's farting today, but, you know, we know no other life. Like, you know, this is the only life that we've ever known. So to us, it is, you know, That is our reality. So that's what I was trying to say earlier, which is, like, you know, I didn't know the difference. And so, you know, I think the best part is when you wake up, right? When in recovery, like when we're really talking about recovery. And for you that are listening right now, you know, if you're 30 days, you know, if you're 60 days, whatever, 3 months, I don't care. The fact is this, is that you don't know freedom, right? Like, you know, it's, and I mean, if you were drinking to that degree where you, again, it would, it, every decision that you made was divided by alcohol or drugs, then it takes a while to break free from that kind of thinking and to understand, you know. So, and I understand, like, when we go to meetings and we talk about, like, it talks about in the beginning of this, it says, you know, we talk about powerlessness and recovery. We tend to ignore the other side of the concept, being powerful, right? Being a power ranger, if you will. So one of the things that, you know, you hear people talk about in meetings, like, oh, I'm powerless over everything and da da da. And it's just such a defeatist way to think and act that I don't, it's like crawling from one boiling pot into another. I don't understand why you would choose to think that you are powerless over everything in your life. You're not.
Right.
You know, so, so as you get into recovery, you start to understand, you know, at least I began to understand that, like, you know, I had the power of choice. I could start making decisions that I was not, you know, able to make before. Mm-hmm. You know, the other thing behind it is, like, you know, we talk about, you know, the AA concept of having a higher power, for instance. It's like, it's not that, like, you know, when we're talking about access to power, you know, I mean, when we're talking about, you know, powerlessness, we're not talking about, like, that relationship. That, again, that's a very different kind of relationship. But I'm talking about access to power in terms of the power to choose. And I get that from having a relationship with my higher power, right? Mm-hmm. I by having that ability, I then get a different, it was, they say in the big book, like, a power flowing through me, right? Like, that, an unsuspected inner resource that I didn't, but it is a powerful, but it's not so, like, it's not so, you know, white light shocking experience. What it is like, it's an awareness that, like, I get that I'd never had before about my own thoughts, actions, choices, behaviors, and all the things that go along with it. And that's once that door opens and you realize that you're no longer bound by alcohol and drugs, and that you realize, like, now your thought life is the thing that, like, really, you know, you have access to that kind of a power. It, you know, man, doors start to open super wide and you really start to appreciate. And I think, like, one example that I know of for you, Chelsea, if that's your real name, is that, like, I think that, you know, your choice to become a registered nurse, right, was like, absolutely, like, again, your choice to become a registered. And every day that you went to school and every time that you felt like giving up, because I know it was hard, and I know that you had, like, a workload that was, like, again, you had to go to work, you had to go to school, you still had to maintain your life, but you were making these decisions every day to do that stuff. And it's very, you know, recovery is very empowering in that way, right? So not powerlessness, right? You're talking about, like, you know, every day you're making that decision to get up and do that stuff again. And it's very exciting. It really is. So I think that's one of the things that I think people tend to, you know, miss out when they get into recovery, is that, like, because I think a lot of people go down this road of, like, I'm just a piece of shit alcoholic, and I don't deserve anything but sitting in these meetings and, you know, doing shit.
And if that's the way you think, then that's going to be your reality. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. I wholeheartedly agree with everything you've said. I mean, it was kind of, powerlessness was kind of a hard concept for me to understand, because I'm a control freak, and I was like, well, how the fuck am I powerless when I'm, like, you know, I stopped drinking, you know, I'm here, I'm doing the program, blah 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 blah. Mm-hmm. But what I had to realize was that the situation I'm powerless in is when I drink. You know, when I drink, take that first drink, I don't have control over, you know, I can't stop myself, and I can't control the things that necessarily that happen afterwards, until I sober up. So, I didn't like the idea of being powerless, but I had to acknowledge that when I consume alcohol, that's exactly who I become. I become mm-hmm. a slave to my my addiction. And, you know, getting sober was really empowering, like you said, because when you're no longer focused or you're no longer chained to this drink. And like you were saying, like 30, 60, 90 days, you're still kind of obsessing about it, right? Mm-hmm, like mm-hmm. I would argue I was obsessed.
I've very much a lot longer.
Yeah, go on. Exactly. Yeah. You know, it shifted to like being obsessed with recovery. And so like I was very much chained to alcohol one way or another for a while. And so I didn't understand that freedom. But, you know, with time, with change, I started realizing now I have that I'm no longer like, you know, bound to alcohol. I have the freedom to choose what I do with my life, you know, and make choices that are no longer, you know, confined to the obligations I had to my boyfriend, alcohol. Like I can go to school if I want to, I can, take up hobbies and not worry about, you know, being drunk and missing out on things. Like there's a lot of power in that. And, I don't think I would have, like made it through school if I hadn't gone through the process of getting sober and sticking to it, because it's fucking hard. Like both getting sober and nursing school are both really hard. Just having the power to make that choice. Now, I think it's important for people to understand that you're powerless over, drinking or you're drugging, right? But then also you don't have power when it comes to what life throws at you, what other people do, how they behave. You know, what you have power over is yourself, your actions, your beliefs, behaviors, and your choices. And so that's, I think that's kind of the thing that gets mixed up, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as I say, you know, people talk about quickly, like when they throw out little slogans of, you know, I'm powerless over people, places, and things, you know, and it's like, yes and no, right? Yeah, it's like, you know, it's like, yeah, I'm powerless. I can't control people necessarily, but I can certainly, you know, control the people I hang out with, right?
Exactly.
You know, you know what I mean? So there is a little difference. And again, how I interpret, how I feel, how I perceive, and, you know, there's all these things that go along with it. You know, so, and I think that's what, you know, people can easily move into this defeatist, I'm powerless attitude, and it can become part of their recovery philosophy. And that's, you know, when I was younger, that's kind of what I saw, you know, that's mm-hmm. how I, because again, without actually doing the step work, without actually getting involved and, you know, reading the paragraphs and the words, right. And understanding definitions, et cetera, really grasping concepts, you know, as you just sit in meetings, that's what you hear, right? You're like, oh, that's, you know, so if I'm not doing recovery and I'm just sitting in meetings, that's the attitude that you can pick up on, because you hear these little quips, I'm powerless over people, places, and things. And you're like, oh, yeah, I guess I'm just a helpless little fucking bird.
Well, and that's, it's not very like, I don't know, encouraging to just sit there and hear like you're powerless. Like, okay, well, what the fuck am I supposed to do with that information? Just like sulk and be sad about it? Yeah. Like,
poor me. Oh, well. Oh, darn.
Yeah.
Just a powerless ranger. So I think, you know, one of the readings, and the reason why I wrote this reading, is to encourage people to like really tap into their, like, again, that unsuspected inner resource, right? You know, again, having a higher power is an okay thing, by the way. You don't have to, I know that you may be the intelligent atheist who like really swears up and down, and that's good for you. But I think if you're really listening and if you're really understanding, you know that like there's that little voice inside you, that little, like what I had when I first got sober, because I refused to connect with a higher power. The closest I could get was there's a, like a sober spot, like a silent sober spot in the center of my skull. And whatever that is, I like it because it feels peaceful. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And again, and all I needed to do was to kind of start from there. That little seed grew and I feel much more empowered, right? Or that I have access to power that I never had before. And that power, again, encourages me to have like the power of choice. Yeah, there is a spot in the book too. It says, I tried to do an acronym, a factor. I think it was in February we actually did that one. But it's factor, and it was so is the acronym factor stands for like what you have control over, and which is your feelings, your actions, your choices, your thoughts, your opinions or judgments, and reactions, right? And so those are the things that I have power over, right? Which is, again, and if you think about those things, they all come from inside of me. They're all a part of me. They're nothing from the outside of me. And that's the idea behind, this reading, is to say, to help you to begin to focus on what you actually have power over, and to know that you have more power than what is out there. I would do this with my sponsor, John. I would tell him, I'd be bitching about a boss, or I'd be bitching about my wife, and again where I'd lose my shit, and inevitably he'd say, well, why do you give her that power? And I just didn't understand any of that conversation. You know what I mean? Because as soon as he'd bring that, I'd be like, what do you mean? She's a bitch. I needed to yell at her because she was a bitch. That's just how that goes, So it's just really weird. Like, I never understood the concept that I was giving away my power when I responded to people like that. So again, reactions, right? Mm-hmm. And I just didn't understand any of that stuff. And so, but then later in recovery, I understood I have a choice on how I react with that person. I'm really, deciding whether I'm going to be hurt or not. Right.
Yeah.
And that was kind of that was a new concept for me to get. And I really, and when you get it, it's like, it frees you from a lot of bullshit, which is it's a great place to be sometimes.
Yeah. And I feel like in those situations where, I was struggling, with maybe being reactionary, like you were describing, I would feel powerlessness. And so one thing that, is great about having a higher power is if you can take a breath and just take a step back and be like, all right, this person's, behaving this way. I can't do anything about how they're behaving. I'm going to leave that up to my higher power and ask for him or her it to give me the strength or, the calm to not react to this and not give away my power,
Or the wisdom to know the difference, right?
Yes.
Like, please.
Exactly.
We say it all the time at every meeting,
Yeah. So the things that you have power over, right? Courage to change the things you can, but then, the things that you can't, that's what your higher power is very helpful for, just giving it up to them and accepting that it's not in your wheelhouse. It's not something that, you can spin your wheels and you can be pissed off and you can bitch about it all you want, but that's not going to change the fact that you have no power over it. And that's frustrating.
The best part about some of that stuff too is, because, when you say the serenity prayer, and again, praying for the wisdom to know the difference, really, there are times when I look back and I go, throughout my recovery, I would be praying the serenity prayer over something that I absolutely had the ability, but I just didn't know. Right.
Yeah.
It's like I had the ability to change or impact something very differently, but I didn't know that I could. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so as time has gone on, I've been like, oh, yeah, like I should have done X, like, duh. Right. And so it really does help to have that thinking as well, to say I don't know now, but maybe in the future I will be able to impact. But for whatever reason, I don't have the answer now. And that's what you do. Yeah. You learn to let go of some of those things with that. I do want to say when it comes to this stuff, to temper it, right. One of the things that the program has allowed me to do, which, I learn more and more again, because, dude, I'm just a neophyte out here. I'm just an infant, as far as I'm concerned, I never lived life in this way where, maybe some other people, as they were growing up, they learned their lessons, they understood what was going on with their lives, and they made proper decisions, et cetera, knew how to fill out you know, loans for their homes and did all this other good stuff. Well, or get the cars fixed for that matter. I don't, you know, I never had any of this. I drank, man. I did, you know, my job, right? But for the most part, I love to drink. I love to drink and do whatever. That's how I spent my time. So, so there's a lot of things that I didn't pick up along the way. And I think one of the programs, so when we talk about like, you know, access to power, you know, this program has given me, you know, that as well in terms of unity, fellowship, knowledge base, you know, learning lessons from other people, you know, you for that matter, being able to do this, even, you know, being online, being a part of a community and groups online, just all that stuff. It's again, it's access to power that I did not have when I was drinking in my isolated, you know, individualistic self. Right. Mm-hmm. So when we utilize this stuff or these tools that are kind of put out there for us, it's like, we get so much back out of participating in that way. I guess, you know, for me, just even calling my sponsor is like a dude, it's like, you know, current or past, you know, has always been really helpful, or friends, just to get a head check on what, you know, how things are going for me. How should I handle this situation or this or that or the other? Chelsea, have you ever, like when you were part of like your, do you still do that meeting, that one meeting with the medical professionals, or no?
I haven't. No, so once like the pandemic kind of eased up, we went back in person for a little while, and then people just weren't showing up. And so eventually it just kind of fizzled out, but I still stay in contact with some of the doctors that were a part of that group, and the nurses. And
so when you were doing that though, you got, I mean, you must have learned a lot, because I went to one medical professionals meeting where they pretty much, they bitched about the blue pens versus black pens in healthcare, I guess. Because everybody was bitching about using black pens. I don't, you know, but
oh
either way.
God.
So it must be a thing. But you probably learned a lot in that community, did you not?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I learned a lot. And it opened my eyes that, you know, just healthcare professionals are people too, right? Like just because they have a career where they're, you know, held to this standard, or, you know, people entrust them with their care, like they're still human, they're still fallible and can have addictions and mental health issues. So it was very eye-opening, and it helped me not feel so alone. Because it can be very isolating. Like, I don't know if there are other industries where this is a thing, but, you know, healthcare professionals are, they're held to a very high standard, because people, it's a life or death, you know, kind of deal. Like, you know, it's kind of important to be on your A game when you're caring for other people. And so, it can be really isolating, because you feel like you can't talk to other people, who maybe aren't in the healthcare industry, because you want to maintain the public's trust of healthcare professionals, right? It can be very isolating. So that was a very nice group to be a part of, and I know that they exist. It's just almost kind of like a secret society. Like it you have is. To
it's
really,
actually, it's with it's a secret dig. Society within a secret society. It really, yeah. Is. Like yeah, you kind of have to really look for them. So yeah, it's you know, I think. But just having the access to like a group of people that within, you know, I would imagine, and this is what it does for me. It gives me a sense of just another level of encouragement. Like you just said, like, you know, I can participate, you know, they're just like me. I'm just like them. And, you know, and it gives me hope and encouragement that I wouldn't normally have gotten. So any other kind of like recovery group, it doesn't really matter for me. It's like I walk in and I see the same things now. So it doesn't have to be specific to healthcare groups, but for me, it's like just even a regular meeting. And people that I fellowship with really gives me, like, I call people from ACA all the time, and it's just like, because we think very similarly, just that alone gives me access to just more hope, power that I did not have. You know, before I call that person, for whatever reason, again, I'm accessing power when I do that stuff. It's a really neat you know, system, the way that, that it works and the way that it's worked for the last 80 years, you know, or 85 years. I don't know what it is now, but yeah, but that's the idea, right? It's like, you know, we get, not only do we get personal, you know, higher power access, but access to our own thoughts and awareness. And then we get, you know, access to power by engaging with other people. I mean, this is a real, like, it's just a real positive way to be in general. And it, you know, it's funny, this guy, I always sit there and think, like, why didn't we just, I wish I would have started out this way rather than having to, you know, I don't know, get to desperation. But hey, you know, it is what it is, right?
Yeah. Okay, it's Chelsea. AA is the club that no one wants to join at first. I feel like that's how I felt anyway.
I wouldn't. I still don't want to be a member, but I guess that I am. yeah, if there was this club without having the affliction, I would be all on board. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like people say, "Oh, I'm grateful I'm an alcoholic." I'm not grateful I'm an alcoholic. I'm only grateful that I have a solution to being an alcoholic. That's really about it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like saying, I'm grateful I'm a cancer patient. It's like, no, you're grateful you beat cancer, believe me.
Yeah. I mean, no one wants it in the first place, but I think you can find ways to be grateful that you have X, Y, and Z experiences so that you can help others, or that you just, you know, you're more thoughtful or experienced in things that other people may not be. So I think that's like a positive way to look at it, but to straight up say, like, I'm grateful that I'm an alcoholic and, you know, I'm kind of fucked up in the head is a little bit of a stretch for me. So,
okay. The final question for April 13th. Are you ready? So what power do you have today that you should be accessing, but don't, and why not?
That's a really hard question.
It is, isn't it? Because you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah. I feel like I've kind of, with regards to like recovery, I'll say, I think I have a lot more that I can offer people, like the general public or, you know, just people in my life. I have like experience and then, you know, just, you know, I don't know. I feel like I have a lot more to offer and I just haven't really been focusing on that because I've been a little bit preoccupied with other things in my life. So I think my answer will be maybe just my AA and alcoholism experience that I could be supportive to others, you know, beyond this podcast for however many people listen to it.
Fuck this thing.
What about you, Carl?
I, you know, I'd have to say, like, just even kind of debate, you know, I know it may not seem like it to other people. I feel like I don't do enough, right? Actionable items. So part of that is my thought life. I feel like I feel like I stay stuck in my head a lot, you know? And so rather than like kind of being more thoughtful about what I intended, I stay stuck in my ruminations, and then that takes me away from taking more action. So it's like, so that's kind of, I think, one of the things that I feel like I don't, like, I know that I have access to that. I know that I have like the power to change my thoughts or a little bit, you know, but I tend to just, you know, go back and, you know, be more ruminating. I'm an overthinker, you know, just in general.
Yeah.
That's just kind of my problem. So I should be better about that, but I'm not.
At least we're all human.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay. And then, so don't forget, today you can use your power in ways you never could. So get out there and score, dunk that goal.
Dunk the goal.
Swing for the goal posts. Hit a touchdown. I don't know. Dunk a home run. And whatever it is you, do, okay, Chelsea, I do you think we've played this one out? Is this?
I think
so. This one to death. Have we?
I think so.
Stick a fork in it. All right. So, what do you say to the? Well, wait. Let's go back to the newcomer. for the nude person
and the nude comer. And, no, and not nude a nude comer. Come in
every once in a while.
Oh man!
Now you got my brain going. The nude comer. I'm just sitting here watching a dude masturbate in a meeting. Like, damn it, stop it. Anyway, for the nude comer, what would you say to the nude comer who's thinking that, like, you know, again, maybe they've just woken up and they're like, shit, I'm not powerless, right? What would you say to them?
You're correct. You're not powerless. You're not powerless over everything. So stop acting like a victim and change the things that you can, right? Like, it's one of the very basics that we talk about in every single meeting, courage to change the things we can. But at the same time, wisdom to know the difference. So don't try and like control other people or manipulate. Just focus on you and what you can do to improve your life. And, you know, it starts by not picking up, you know, not picking up a drink, not picking up a drug, because then you have more power, you have more choices. So don't take that away from yourself. What about you, Carl?
Oh, I mean, you said it very clearly. I'll try and say it very awkwardly. Remember, bad in, bad out, right? Good in, good out. That's just kind of, for me, I had to at first become an empty vessel in order to be filled. That was something I understood. But I had to point myself to be filled by the right things. Right. So again, good in, good out. And I'm not talking about eating and shitting either. So pay attention to what you're consuming. You know, look out there. And if consuming is an issue for you, stop. You know, and I'm meaning like, you know, whether it be news sources, whether it be, again, watching sports. I didn't need to watch sports. You know what I mean? No point in it for me. Okay, so that's all we got. That's it. It's kind of like a weird way to end it. Don't watch sports.
if that's like a trigger for you.
I guess that's the idea. Okay, so so don't watch sports, everybody.
They're like, what a fucking weird sobriety podcast.
That's great. Okay. So don't forget to like, subscribe, and all that good stuff. And then what do you say to all the kind, loving, encouraging people out there?
Doses.
And I say, stay active, stay sober. See ya,
motherfuckers.
SoberPod.com. 366 fucking days sober. Yeah, it was a sight to see them. Yeah. Breakfast with Sprite and Seagrams. Wrestling with my vices, exercising my demons. My blessings were blocked, so I never got the message. I'm stressing, I'm only 12 steps from an exit. Damn. Regret it, because my imperfections were perfected. I ain't run from it, I accept it and rep it. It's a badge to me, good stories come from a tragedy. And when you survive, the glory will come in Act 3. The wait's over, 366 fucking days sober. Morning affirmations that can start the day for you. Use my favorite book. Mark for a placeholder. Finish when the day's over. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Sober pod. Keep it authentic. No facades. If it's real, then you know it's ours. Welcome.